Chapter 3. Zuwani and the Rebels. Tobin and Dot returned to the Secret Service offices in another part of New York. As they walked through the building, some people said quietly, "Hi, Keller." Some looked away from him. Two men were standing outside Tobin's office. "We're Special Agents Lewis and King," one said. "We're here to help." Tobin's boss, Jay Pettigrew, arrived.
"Are you okay?"
he asked. "Yes," Tobin said. "I feel better."
"The president called me this morning. He's worried. He doesn't want Zuwani to die over here. Get him out of the UN and out of the United States. Use agents from any other organization that you want."
Tobin and Dot left the Secret Service offices and went to the CIA. They talked to Agent John Hasrow.
"Years ago, Edmund Zuwani was a good guy," Hasrow told them. "Matobo had a very bad government. Zuwani freed the people. And they loved him. Then he changed."
He showed them pictures of Zuwani. In each photo, the African president held a gun. Then Hasrow showed them some pictures of dead bodies.
"Zuwani murdered 32,000 coups this year. Every year he kills more people. Matobo is a dangerous place. And it's getting worse."
"Who wants him to die?" Tobin asked.
"Millions of people. And these two men."
John showed them a photo of a handsome young African man.
"This is a Jene Zola. He's a doctor's son, and he went to school in Paris. He was a peace protester, but now..."
"And that one?" Dot asked.
John picked up a photo of an older African man with guards around him.
"That's the man with two names," Tobin said. "I read about him in the newspapers every day." "One name, used twice," John said. "Kuman Kuman. He lives here in New York. He was Zuwani's friend, but now they're enemies. He got too close to the president's daughter. Kuman Kuman says that Zuwani is a madman. Both Kuman Kuman and Zola are popular, and they both want Zuwani to die."
"They want him to die in the United Nations," Tobin said. "In front of ambassadors from 191 countries. In front of the news cameras. In front of the world." He gave John some papers. "This is the interpreter," he said. "Find out everything about her." Dot drove Tobin to the Matobin government offices before she returned to the Secret Service building. Tobin went into the office of Nils Ludd, a tall, middle-aged white man, President Zuwani's head of security.
"Tell me about the interpreter," Ludd said. He started to make coffee. "Is she lying? Is she pretty?"
Tobin gave Ludd some papers.
"This is the UN's information about her. She has a Matobin passport."
Ludd looked surprised.
"Does she?"
"She was born here," Tobin said.
"Are you serious?"
Ludd asked.
"Yes," Tobin replied.
"Black or white?"
Ludd asked. Tobin looked at the coffee pot.
"No thanks."
"Is she black or white?"
Ludd said angrily.
"White."
"We need to find out. Is she lying or not?"
That night, Sylvia returned to her apartment. It was small and colorful,
with African masks and photos on the walls. She lifted the phone, then put it down. She took her cell phone out of her purse and opened it. Then she closed it and put it in her pocket. She ran out of the apartment to a payphone, called a number in France, and listened to the message on the answering machine.
This is Bruyer. Leave a message.
Philippe, it's Sylvia. I must talk to you. Can you call me? No, don't call me. I'll call you later.
She left the phone booth and walked nervously down the street. There was a young black man behind her. A cell phone rang. The young man stopped and pulled his phone out of his pocket.
Hi, Mom, he said.
Dot watched from across the street as she spoke into her phone to the young black man.
Agent Sample, she said, you're too close.
Doug Sample laughed.
Yes, Mom, things are okay. My boss is a problem, but...
Sylvia smiled. He was just another worker walking home. She went back into her apartment building. The well-dressed African man sat in his car on the other side of the street. He watched Sylvia, Dot, and Doug Sample. Nobody saw him. When she was inside her apartment, Sylvia turned on the light in her living room, took some new notebooks out of a shopping bag, and put them on the table. She wrote an address on a large envelope and put the notebooks inside the envelope. Then she walked slowly to the window and looked down at the dark street. On the other side of the city, Tobin was opening his apartment door. He went into the living room and looked at the photos on the wall. He and his wife were eating, sailing, laughing. There was a big picture of his wife dancing. He sat next to the phone, turned on the answering machine, and listened to a message from his wife. He listened to the same message every night.
Hi,
her voice said.
I'm sitting here thinking. I made a mistake. Are you there? I want to come back. I told him. He'll take me to the airport. Will you meet me? I'll call you when I get there. I hope you haven't changed the locks.
Then there was another message, a male voice this time.
This is Officer Looper, New Mexico State Police. I want to speak to Tobin Keller. Please call me at 812 Highway. Thank you.
Then a third message from a different man.
This is Dr. Cleary, calling from Albuquerque General Hospital. I'm sorry, but...
And Tobin's own voice.
Yes? Hello?
The final message was from Dot.
Tobin, are you there?
She asked.
I just heard. I don't know what to say. I'll call you later. I'm thinking about you.
And the recording ended. Tobin looked around the empty room. Then he picked up a bag and left the apartment.